It's not about how you feel. It is deliberate for you and me. It is deliberate. Listen, I can assure you in life, not every minute in our life is good, is it? But God is good every minute in your life. Do you understand that?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good morning and welcome. Now, we know that Thanksgiving Day has come and gone, but being thankful isn't just for one day out of a year, right? With that being said, today we're sharing Pastor Bill's recent Thanksgiving Day message with you. It's a moving and timely word to the body of Christ, and I know you'll be glad you tuned in. Now, Pastor Bill, with today's message, gratitude is not an attitude.
This morning, I want to talk to you about a different kind of Thanksgiving message, if you will. And, I'm praying through all of this and asking the Lord what he would have me to say this morning, you know, I want to give you the title of the sermon. And the title is Gratitude is Not an Attitude. And so many times we feel that, okay, I've got to get it up here, and it's my attitude, even though I don't feel like it or whatever. But gratitude is not an attitude, and we're going to talk about that in depth in just a moment. But here we are, it's Thanksgiving, 2025? Man, was it 4 days away to Thanksgiving? Christmas is around the corner, brand new year, and we're just going to have a wonderful celebration, I pray, throughout until we get to 2026. But you know, it's wonderful to be with family. Matter of fact, Thanksgiving is my favorite time of year, and just because it seems to me it's more peaceful than any other time. And I love just to thank God for all that he's done for me and my family and for this church here. You know, it's so weird. I was in prayer. And you know, I grew up, of course. My sister raised me there in Keller. And she took me in right after I just turned 14 years old. And it was so funny because the year that this chapel was built was the year that I went to be with my sister. And I used to I used to ride my bicycle from Fort Worth to Keller just to see my grandmother, because I'd ride at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, nobody cared anyway. So, I mean, and I just thought, Lord, you know what? You prepared this place, even though the Diamond Oaks Baptist Church built it. But when I passed that, when I was a little boy riding that bicycle, I never dreamed that one day, when you took me in at my sister's and I grew up, that I'd be standing here preaching your word. Isn't God amazing? The things that he does, he is an awesome God. And he always has a solution to your problem long before your problem ever comes into your life. Did you know that? And so when we think about this gratitude, every Christian should know this. Yes, we celebrate the incredible holiday, Thanksgiving, but loved one, listen, we are the children of God, and Thanksgiving is more than a holiday, amen? It is what we do. We give thanks unto the Lord. We praise the Lord for who he is. The Bible says in Psalm 118:24, this is the day, right today, that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it, or we will rejoice, meaning, and give thanks for the day that God has given us. And just think how much we have to be thankful for. In America, amen? Boy, I start thinking about that. I mean, look at our homes. Look at our cars. Let's go out there and look at all those nice cars. I mean, look at our clothes, except for people at Calvary. I mean, think about that. You know, I mean, and people, I mean, you know what amazes me? We're so blessed. I mean, you know, the HEB food stores. People, they camp out at night for the grand opening the next day. I don't know how you feel about that, but I mean, listen, but the problem with all that we have, all the blessings from God, I mean, so many, though, focus on what they don't have. Think about that. They focus on what they don't have instead of what God has already done. I mean, people complain. I complain sometimes. I'm human. I mean, but we complain, well, you know, my garage is too, it's so full of stuff. I can't park my Mercedes or my Range Rover. I can't even get it in there. I mean, think about that. Or you know, there's just no room in my closet. Women have a problem with that. Not all women, but some women. You know, or like I heard the other day, it was at someone's home, and a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, whenever it was, and they said, oh, my refrigerator, I have no room in it. And I looked in there, oh, my God. You know, I mean, I need a larger refrigerator? You got to be kidding, all that food? You know, when my sister took me in as a teenager, I didn't have a lot of food growing up, and when I got to her house, I was incredibly blessed. There was food. I mean, but I didn't know that Spam and fish sticks weren't real food, and I ate them. You know what I'm saying? So we think about all of that. Or we complain about, oh, I've got to clean my brand new 3,500 square foot home that God gave me. You know, if you want to lose thankfulness, if you want to lose a thankful heart, just look at everything that God has given unto you, that God has provided, and take all of it for granted. And your heart will not be thankful. Listen, everything we have, everything I have, everything that we have at this place called Calvary, God gave it to us. The breath that we breathe, God has given it unto us. Amen? He is our provider because we're the sheep of his pasture. Now, when you think about thanksgiving unto God, I did some research. Do you know that there are over 100 commands or imperatives, if we call them in the Greek, commands about giving thanks to the Lord? And Paul the Apostle, who I love dearly, mentioned the giving of thanks to God at least 46 times in his epistles in the New Testament. Now, when we have that many commands about giving thanks unto God, we should say, okay, now this is major. I mean, this should tell us that giving of thanks, being thankful, is of major importance in our walk with the Lord, amen, in the lives that we live. Now, some people say, well, Bill, why do we have to do all that? God doesn't need our praise. God doesn't need our thanks. No, he doesn't. So why would God command it? Because it's for our benefit. It's for our spiritual health. It's for our spiritual emotional makeup. Did you know that? It is very, very important. And also, whenever a Christian truly embraces the Word of God, and when he says, you be thankful for this, and you do it, something happens in the supernatural realm. Very important. Now, turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And we're going to be there, and then in a moment we'll be in Romans 8, 28. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, we know this scripture very, very well. Paul the Apostle says, rejoice when everything is going your way. Rejoice when you're living the dream. Rejoice when you never have a problem in your life. Rejoice when you go to your mother-in-law's house for Thanksgiving. No, I don't mean it that way. But it says, and it's a command, okay? It says, rejoice when? At all times. Two words, rejoice at all times. Listen, regardless of what's going on, regardless of our circumstances. Now, why would God command that? Well, number one, is God's commandments, or are God's command, whichever one is correct, are they in our enablements? Well, God would be guilty if he commanded us to do something and then not give us the wisdom and the power to do it. Amen? So this is very, very important. Now listen, why can we do that? Well, number one, rejoice always, that word means joy. Is joy a fruit of the Spirit? Yes, Galatians 5:22. So this is the Holy Spirit, the joy, peace, love, and all that, that's already in your heart, and you can rejoice. All you have to do is obey that. But our rejoicing, it's not based on circumstances. It's based on someone that saved us, isn't it? Philippians 4:4, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now listen, this is not coming to church or in whatever circumstance you may have in your life, and you're saying, okay, I'm just going to pretend, I'm just going to rejoice, I'm going to put on a happy face and so forth. No, no. Listen carefully now. When God gives you a command and we obey it, it's not about how you feel. It is deliberate. It, for you and me, it is deliberate. Listen, I can assure you in life, not every minute in our life is good, is it? But God is good every minute in your life. Do you understand that? He really is. He is good all the time. So we're to rejoice always. That is a command. And look at the next one. Paul says in verse 17, then pray without ceasing. That's a command again. Now, if you heard me teach that before, that's not telling us that we need to be on our knees every minute. It just tells us that that's the lifestyle of a believer. We do pray all the time, off and on during the day or whatnot. Why? Prayer is always the work. Aren't you glad that God's ears are open to our prayers? Yes, He hears us. He wants us to pray. Prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. You talk to the Lord and the Holy Spirit talks to you. Amen? So Jesus told us in Luke 18:1, he said that men ought to always pray and not faint. Don't be discouraged or give up. Jesus told us and gave us another command in Matthew 7:7 that we're to ask, it'll be given. Knock and the door will be opened. Amen? So we're to do all of those things. And we're to also be thankful in prayer. Let me give you the scripture, Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, or literally, devote yourself, or be devoted to prayer, being vigilant or watchful in it. And he tells us how. He says, with thanksgiving. Why? When you are in prayer, is God the faithful God? He is always faithful, and He's faithful to His promises. So when we're giving Him thanksgiving, we're saying that. We know You're faithful, Lord. You know You're going to help us. Now look at another command, and this is going to be repeated many times, the Lord willing, during this message this morning. In verse 18, Paul the Apostle writes, in almost everything give thanks. Does he say that? No. In everything give thanks when you really feel like it. He doesn't say that. When you get the promotion at job, when your kids really do well, or a healing comes into your life. No. He says, in everything give thanks. This is a command. Why? For this is the will of God. And what's that next word? Say it. In. Very important word. Circle that in your Bible. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The word in gives us the key to all of it. And the key is Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Because we are in Christ. What did Jesus tell us in John 15:5? Without me, you can't do anything. Nothing. So listen, but with Him, we can obey this scripture. Amen? So that's very important. So this command, now listen carefully. You know, Thessalonians, by the way, I don't know if you remember or not, was one of Paul's first epistles. And this church that he wrote to, and actually was there with them. No, I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But they were a very young church, and they were under horrible persecution for their faith in Christ Jesus. They were suffering, loved one. And Paul gives them that command and us that command. He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So God says, I want you, I love you, and I want you to be in my will. And the way that you be in my will, this one thing here, is when in everything in your day-to-day journey in this thing called life, in every circumstance, you give thanks in it. Not for it, loved one. Amen? Never for it. It's in it. So obedience to this command, I'll tell you something. You know what happens if we obey that and when we obey it? You won't develop bitterness in your heart. when you go through hard times. No, because you stay in the will of God. And the will of God is the safest place that you can be on this planet. Amen? Would you say that, and I say this lovingly, I've been a part of it too, but would you say that the majority of the church disobeys this commandment?
Yes,
and that is deadly. I mean, it is deadly. So how can we rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks? Turn or hold your place and turn to Romans 8:28. What does Paul the Apostle say? Let me turn there myself. Paul the Apostle, he tells us in this great chapter, chapter 8, he says, and we know that some things, we know that a few things, and we know that all things, we could look at it this way. We know that God causes all things to work together for what? For good. Do you believe that? No, all things. No matter what it is you're going through in your life, no matter the evil that comes against you, no matter the tears that fall from your eyes, no matter the hurt, the pain, what the scourge, whatever it is, God says, you know what, I love you. And we know, boy, that's a very important word, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to the call, rather, according to his what? His purpose, God's plan for you, his purpose for your life. Now listen, let's be fair, because I know that, like all of us, we know that scripture, don't we?
Yes.
But we all are guilty of isolating Romans 8:28. We take it out of its context. We make a doctrine right there. But let's make sure that we're good students of scripture, because here, I want you to look at verse 28 again, and there's a very important word at the very beginning, and that word is and, okay? And is a conjunction. All right, so what does that do? It tells us that this verse is linked with what has already been set forth. What has been set forth? Look in verse 18 of Romans. Look at it. Here it comes. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, are we the sons and daughters of God? There is suffering in this life. There is tribulation in this life. Amen? All who desire to live godly will suffer in this life. Amen? We're going to be persecuted, but all those things. But listen, our suffering is short and glory is forever and ever. Amen? And that's what he's saying. But here's the deal. It says, let us give thanks because we know. That word we know means we know in our hearts with absolute, complete certainty. We know because it says in Titus 1:2, for example, that God cannot lie, and this is God's word. Amen? So that we need to really look at 8:28 and do this. We are not called to reconcile that verse. We're not called to isolate that verse, okay? Our Father in heaven has called us to do one thing concerning Romans 8:28. And that is to believe it with all of your heart. When things come against you, your life is not always easy, loved one. All of us are going through things in our life. It's just part of it. But how do we handle the things that come into our life? Well, we have to say, okay, God's going to turn that around for good. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, Joseph. Man, listen, from prison to the palace. But, you know, here's a man that God was with him the whole time in prison, all the way through, wasn't he? And made him a good success. But when it says all things work, that means energy. God is working. He's doing something. All things work how? Again, look at it. It says together for good. This verse is not saying that all things are good. All things are not good. Amen? It says, but all things, no matter what they are working together for your good. God will turn evil into good. Amen? Now, this promise is not for everyone. This promise here, because do all things work together for good for everyone in the world? No, only to those who love God, and to those who are the called according to the purpose of God. Amen? That's who that works for. That's us. Now listen, the man who penned Romans 8:28, Now, you can go through, study it out about Paul's life. But, you know, just briefly, he was beaten three times by the Jews with rods. He was stoned. He was left for dead. He was in hunger. He was in cold. He was in nakedness. He also penned 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Paul gave thanks in everything. Now, he also penned another scripture. Let me read it to you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 34, 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So Paul, here is a man who is unjustly treated. He is brutally treated, matter of fact. He's in a rat-infested Roman prison. And he wrote those words. He wrote those words. Oh, man. And I'm going, dear Lord. Paul the Apostle, he had learned true thanksgiving. He had learned it. He learned in everything give thanks no matter what. Now, gratitude is not an attitude, okay? But it is alive in our hearts. And let's pause. What I want to do is pause for a moment now and let's kind of learn what all Paul was saying this morning. So number one, being thankful is so easy. No, being thankful, loved one, it's not easy. I'm talking about the thanks that God wants us to have. Amen? It's not easy. And let me tell you what it is. It is an active, ongoing spiritual struggle. Did you know that? Because your old man doesn't want to be thankful or any of it. Your old man is selfish, okay? So it's an ongoing spiritual struggle, which means it is a fight, but it's a good fight, loved one. Giving thanks, listen now, giving thanks to God in everything that we go through in our life. This is a spiritual discipline. But here's what happens. Since it is a spiritual discipline and we do what it says, it anchors my heart, it anchors your heart to the perfect will of God. Amen? And that's what we need to understand. I mean, think about our Father. Oh, how he loves us. Ephesians 1:3, that thanks be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has done something, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that. He loves you. Listen, the Bible says that God's thoughts about you and about me, they are more than the sands of the sea. Think about it. How many thoughts is that? He's thinking about you and me, not corporately, individually right now. He has numbered the very hairs of your head. Amen? And not only that, what does it say in 1 John 3:1? Behold what manner of love. That is one word in the Greek, manner of love. It means a love, this manner of love that doesn't come from this planet. It only comes from outside of this planet. It means from heaven, God's love. Behold, look at it. Behold what manner of love God has lavished or bestowed upon you that we should be called the children of God. Listen, if we take that scripture lightly, we're in trouble. Listen, we are, do you sign your letters or your check? I'm a child of God. Do you know how incredible that is to be a child of God? And all the blessings that he has given us. And if God is our Father, and he is, he commands his sons, he commands his daughters to be thankful in a fallen world. The Bible tells us something, loved one. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, 3, verses 1 through 4. He says, Timothy, but know this. This is a fact, Timothy. But know this, perilous times. The word perilous means savage, fierce, horrifying. Perilous times will come in the last days. And then he gives 19 characteristics of people of the last days, you know, unthankful and so forth. You know, unthankful, right? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, lovers of money and so forth. And so that's the day that we're living in. So with all that Paul faced, how in the world did he remain thankful? Because we have never faced what he had. Amen? Come on. Okay. I'm going to let Paul tell you. You ready? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. He says this, whatever you do. Now, that is a big word, loved one. Whatever you do. Did you get on 820 and drive? Okay, that's something you did. Whatever you do, do you work at Big Mac? Or what's it called? Big Mac? Big Burger? I don't care what it's called. Do you say, whatever, I'm mashing those hamburgers. You know? He says, no, Matt, whatever you do, no matter the circumstances, whatever you do in word, that's everything that passes through your lips. Whatever you do in word and deed, the things you do in life, okay, your doings, here it comes, do all of it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or literally we could say in complete dependency upon him. And here it comes, giving thanks. Whatever you do, whatever comes out, whatever you do, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now listen carefully. Would you say that word and deed cover everything we do in our life? Okay, we are commanded to do that, and God knows why and what the purpose of that is. Loved one, listen to me. Thankfulness is such a deception. See, thankfulness, when things work out, we're thankful. It's easy, amen? But did you know that thankfulness does not depend on abundance? And there's a horrible deception about that. It doesn't depend on abundance, but let me tell you something. Thankfulness to God, when you're obedient to God, thankfulness opens the door for abundance. And you say, well, Bill, what kind of abundance? Well, I can give you the scripture. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have, and how have it how? More abundantly. See, it opens up the door to an abundant life. But listen, again, I'm going to be repetitious. You must fight to be thankful. You fight. You're in a war. Did you know that? You have to fight, loved one, because being thankful is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual discipline, just like prayer. I mean, do you always want to pray? No. Do I always want to pray? No. And when I don't want to pray, I pray. You know why? Because I know I have to do it. I know. Now, when I feel like praying, pray is easy. But when I don't feel like praying, it's hard, but the Holy Spirit helps me pray. Amen? So it's a spiritual discipline. Now, being thankful is not always a feeling. But being thankful is always a deliberate choice on your part. Always. See, gratitude is not an attitude. It's a deliberate choice on your part, no matter what you're facing in your life, no matter what it is. And you know, our Father commands us to be thankful, and we need to agree with that. The psalmist has said in Psalm 92:1, it is good, or literally, it is precious. Well, that's what Luther said, I think. It's precious to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High God, to declare your loving kindness in the morning. So you start off in the morning and you say, Lord, you love me and I love you, and your faithfulness every night. You end your day, you're going to bed, and God says, I have been faithful to you all day, and you can give thanks. Now listen to me. Satan hates a Christian, but he hates a Christian more that you give thanks no matter what you're facing. He can't stand that. Listen, he is a deceiver, and here's what he does now. He tempts every Christian to always judge God's faithfulness to you by the circumstances you are enduring. Do you understand? Oh, why am I going through this? You know, and the devil goes, oh, this is good. Come on, give me some more. Do you understand? No, listen, the devil, he wants to steal your every thank you to God. He wants to. How many has he stolen from us? He wants to do that, loved one. Listen, when all that Paul faced, how did he remain faithful? If I had been floating a day and the night in the sea, hello, I mean, you've got to be going, you know, I mean, you look like a prune, you know, and here you are. I mean, but he was persuaded. No matter what the day held, he was persuaded that God is going to keep him. Amen. Now, so here's what this man wrote from a Roman prison. Are you ready? About being thankful, about how to get through the day. Here it comes. He says in Philippians 4:6, you know the scripture, be anxious for, you know what that word means? Nothing. Anxious, anxiety, being torn apart, being pulled in different directions in your life. That's what that word means. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything that you're going through, whatever it might be, it says by prayer, supplication, and here it comes, that deliberate choice with thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I know you're there. I know you love me. It says, let your request, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God or known in the presence of God. See, when we pray, we're in the presence of God. We're in the presence of God right now. Amen? He says, and he said, let it be known. He says, and listen to God, and here comes the promise. And the peace of God, God's peace, his very own peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and here comes a military word, will guard, will set a sentinel up, will guard your hearts and minds, how? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, your hearts and minds. Now, why would it just guard those things? Because that is where the operating system of your life is, isn't it? Your heart, your emotional realm. And where does Satan love to attack? He loves to try to put junk in your mind. That's why we have to cast down those lies, amen? So it's very important. Now, listen to me. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is real. It's real. You know, my dear sister, I talked to her yesterday. I talk to her twice a week. And I just to check, and I said, and she's 94, whatever it is, tougher than nails. And she was upset because she told me, she said, Billy, don't call me Billy. It's my sister. She says, Billy, and she goes to another church down the street here, and she goes, I can't go to church anymore. Because she works with the youth. She's like, helps. And they all love her. And she said, my anxiety is killing me. I said, well, tell me what's going on. She said, I can't drive home at night anymore. I got home, my blood pressure was 190 over 100. And she said, I can't do it. I can't even park my car back at the house. And I said, Joanne, you made the right decision. You made the right decision. It's okay to slow down now. Amen. She said, well, I'm going to call them. And if they'll come and get me at night and drive me there and back, I'll do it. I said, whatever. Go for it. Anxiety is real, and the Bible just addressed it. Amen? You know, I just read an article in Newsweek. Researchers have now named millennials the most anxious generation in the U.S. alone. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness affecting 40 million people, which is 18% of the population. I read the article and so forth, but it didn't tell me how to cope with it. But God just did. See, God's word is true. That's our medicine. That's our manna. So listen, God made a promise there in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He says about guarding your hearts and mind. God did not promise that he was going to banish all the circumstances that you are faced with. Amen? No. But here's the deal. Where thankfulness is, that's where you find God. Because you're obedient to the word of God. Amen? Now, listen. God promises peace that passes all understanding to guard your hearts and minds. What guarded the heart of Paul? Do you know Paul spent more time in prison than he did outside? Hello? What guarded his heart? It was the very peace of God. Whenever Peter was sleeping there in prison, Herod's prison and whatnot, remember he was awaiting execution. He was sound asleep. Who woke him up? An angel. Well, how can you sleep that well when you're going to get killed, murdered the next morning? Well, God's peace guarded his heart. How about Daniel? When Daniel was in the lion's den, he slept through the night. Did the king in the palace sleep through the night? No, he was up walking the floor singing Only the Lonely. You know what I'm saying? No, he had a problem. Listen, thankfulness is a spiritual battle, okay? But here's what I want you to see about being thankful. It's also an incredibly powerful weapon in our battles, amen? You remember the incredible story, Jehoshaphat or Jehoshaphat, whichever you prefer, the king of the southern kingdom. He was one of Judah's greatest kings. Let me just give you the story real quick. I'll use a few scriptures, but let me tell you the story. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we find something. We find that the people of Moab and Ammon and others besides the Ammonites, they came to battle against Jehoshaphat, okay? And then they came, these scouts came to the king and said, listen, a great multitude is coming against us from beyond the sea, which is in Gedi. So all of Judah's enemies are on the very doorstep. They're closing in and so forth. I mean, have you ever felt like that in your life, that everything's falling apart? You go this way, it's resistance or that way? Well, listen to what he did. In Jehoshaphat, he feared and he set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast to all Judah. Judah was all gathered together. They asked help from the Lord, and all the cities of Judah came to seek the Lord. Is that a great battle plan? Man, listen, he didn't make ready his army. He knew to seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you, or his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? And that's what he did. So the king, he prayed. He says, oh, our God, will you not judge them, meaning his enemies, for we have no power. Isn't that wonderful to know that? We have no power concerning this situation, Lord. He says, against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Here it is. But our eyes are upon you. He saw, when you see the invisible loved one, then that's where you find the impossible. Amen? And that's what's going on. So you know the story. Verse 15, what was it, Jehaziel or whatever his name was? He prophesied. The Holy Spirit fell upon him and he prophesied. And it says in 2 Chronicles 20:15, he said, listen, all of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem and king, he says, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, he says, go down there against them, and they will surely come up and da-da-da-da-da, but you will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? And then he goes, the king. He says, then the king consulted with the people, and he appointed, listen to what he did, what a plan. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise, or literally, who should give thanks unto God. It says, and they went before the army. That's a great praise band, isn't it? Yes. They went before the army and were saying, or were giving thanks, praise the Lord for his mercy. Now listen, there's no generals there. There's not any weapons there. That's the strongest army that could ever be upon this planet because they were doing exactly what God said to do. Do you understand? And what were they doing? Their only weapon against the enemy was giving thanks to God. Do you know how powerful that is? Something, I'm telling you, when we do that, there's something in the spiritual realm that's being shaken, loved one. And so there they are, they're coming together, and as they worship and gave thanks unto the Lord, he says, you know what happened? All the armies, those other people that were against Judah, they turned on themselves and killed each other. You understand? In other words, God sent confusion among them. Now, listen to me. No one escaped. Well, I don't know about you, but God knows what he's doing. Amen? No, being thankful to God, not for the battle. We're not thankful for the battle. We are thankful in the battle. Does that make sense? And I know it doesn't make sense in the natural realm, but loved one, listen, whenever we are in a battle, and we obey and everything give thanks to God. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm going to tell you something. Something happens in the supernatural realm that we don't see. So again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When we obey that command, we are in the perfect will of God. Now listen, Gratitude. Gratitude, loved one. Being thankful. When we make a deliberate choice, I mean, we choose. It's something we, okay, I am going to pray. I am going to study my Bible. I am going to be faithful in church. I am going to serve the Lord. When we make a deliberate choice to give thanks to God, no matter what we're facing, what does God do? What does He do? Now, if we're in the will of God, when you, listen, when you step into the will of God, are you in the power of God? Man, because we can't do the will of God without the power of God. Okay, but it's when we don't obey the will of God, are we in the power of God? No. No, He says, you're obedient. Now listen to me now. What does God do when we obey 1 Thessalonians 5:18? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. The Bible is very clear. It says in Psalm 22:3, it says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises are the thanks of Israel. Now, Israel was His people, and so are we. Amen? Now listen, the word enthroned means to come and dwell or to abide. It means to inhabit. It means to remain. So whenever we are obedient to the Lord and we enthrone ourselves in the thanks of the Lord, we're praising you. Listen, something happens. Boy, the Lord Himself, His presence comes into our circumstances, whether we feel it or not. But you, when you give thanks unto God, you know, you're inviting Him because you're obeying Him. You're inviting Him into your circumstance. Does that make sense? Okay, now, the Bible says in Psalm 92:5, let us come before His presence. Is Jesus here now? Okay, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. So giving thanks is about presence. We were singing to the Lord earlier, amen? Okay, the presence of God. Listen, when we're giving thanks, it invites the presence of God. Now, it says in a Psalm, I read it earlier, Psalm 100, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter into His courts with praise, be thankful to Him. Thanksgiving and praise always goes together. We cannot adequately praise and worship God without being thankful. Did you know that? You can't do it. It's part of it. Now, Psalm 107, 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Now, one more time. I'm going to close in about an hour, okay? I really want you to, I want you to listen carefully. I want to make sure I say this carefully. I know personally, and I know you do too, it's a fight to stay thankful when we're hurting or we're sick, we're going through it. But, loved one, it's a spiritual battle, and we've got to see it that way. And like I just said, it's a spiritual discipline, just like prayer, okay? And you know, with prayer, like for example, it's a discipline, but if you keep doing it, it'll finally turn to a delight, amen? And so, listen, being thankful, gratitude is not attitude. Being thankful isn't about feeling, okay? Not always feeling, but it's always about a deliberate choice on our part, no matter what we're facing. So we are commanded in everything give thanks. God is never wrong, amen? So if He's commanding us to do that, why? Well, it's to protect you. It's to protect your life. And every time we obey one of His commandments, that is a divine invitation into His life. Did you know that? To walk and experience in His life and so forth. It says in 1 John 5:3, this is love for God. It says that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. So they're not heavy. They're not oppressive. They're not stern. They're not cruel. God didn't save you to weigh you down. No, God saved you to set you free. But there is a huge difference between knowing His commandments and keeping them. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again. In, not far, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now listen carefully. I pondered this part over and over, even this morning, 3:30 this morning, matter of fact. And I said, Lord, I know that for the most part at Calvary, Lord, I mean, I know that all of us, we're thankful for what God has already done, aren't we? Come on. I mean, we're thankful for that. Say, Lord, thank you. I mean, we have a home and you know, or at least a place to stay. I mean, we're blessed, amen? But the problem is not being thankful for all that. I mean, that's a good thing. The problem is it's about that one thing in your life, the one thing in my life. And I say, I can't be thankful, Father, for that. I can't do it. I won't be thankful. Why, Lord? This is not right. This is unfair. I can't bear it. I have too much pain. I have too much hurt. The battle, you want me to be thankful? And this has cost me everything in my life. My marriage is gone. My health is gone. And even my belief and faith in your promises are gone. Maybe that's you. I don't even have strength or the desire to obey 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I don't have the strength, the desire to obey it. I don't even have the desire to obey Romans 8:28. Father, I can't. Now, if that's you, I want you to listen to me. I want you to open your heart. Because the devil is winning. And he has stolen from you your thank you to God. That's exactly what he has done, loved one. So instead of making a deliberate choice to obey, you are now making a deliberate choice to disobey, and you're losing the battle. Why? Because now you, instead of walking in the power of the commandment of God, you are giving the power to the enemy. And you know what he loves to do? He's the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? Boy, he loves to torment you mentally, emotionally. He loves to magnify your pain, your hurt, your whatever you're going through. But listen to me now. God's command, it did not say, for everything give thanks. That's not what he said. So many people get confused. No, he didn't say, for everything give thanks. He said, in it, in everything. And when you know that, that's your victory. Amen? That's your victory. Listen to me now. When we obey 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and when we believe Romans 8:28, no matter what, you know what you just did? You just expressed faith and trust in the God who cannot lie and who loves you so much, he sent his own son to die for you. Now listen, in the midst of all of that, when you're going through it, it doesn't mean you don't hurt. It doesn't mean you don't cry. It doesn't mean at times that you just don't say, you know, I just want to give up or I want to quit. No, that's not what it means at all. It means this, though, but your obedience, your giving of thanks in that situation, not far, but in it. You know what it does? It disarms the powers of darkness. That's what we just learned. It disarms them. Do you understand? It just completely disarms them. Listen, why? Thankfulness is a powerful weapon. Do you understand? Gratitude is not an attitude. I make a deliberate choice. Yes, I'm hurting. Yes, I'm sick. Yes, everything in my life is falling apart. No, I don't have a dime in the bank, but I have Almighty God, and I choose. I make a deliberate choice, you know what? In everything, not for it, but my God will never let me down, amen? And I make that deliberate choice. Thankfulness is a powerful, powerful weapon. And yes, it is a sacrifice. It's always a sacrifice, loved one. Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice, the adoration, the thanksgiving of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Loved one, listen to me. What did Paul the Apostle say? I love this. I live sometimes on this scripture. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God our Father, who always leads us in what? Victory. Always. But you gotta be following if you're gonna be led by him. He is always, no matter what you're facing right now. See, you're gonna get out of it. Do you understand that? It's only a season. So when you're in that season, you don't want your mind and your body and your stress to just kill you. No, you're going to say, yep, I'm messed up, man. I'm hurting. My kids are messed up, or my marriage, whatever it might be. But in everything, not for it. Father, in everything, give thanks. I know that's your will. That's your will for me. And that is when the powerful weapon of being thankful takes effect, loved one. Listen, maybe this morning you would say, the devil has stolen your giving of thanks. Because you're looking at what's happening instead of who can take care of it. You know, gratitude is not an attitude. It is a deliberate choice on our part to obey and believe. And maybe there is that one thing right now in your life, you just can't go there. You haven't been able to go there and give thanks unto the Lord and so forth. But you can make a deliberate choice right now. Right this minute, think about it. You can make a deliberate choice. By the strength of Jesus Christ, the strength of the Holy Spirit, you can make a deliberate choice right now to be obedient to 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and believe Romans 8:28. This I know, all things work together for good. All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. How do you do it? You do it through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's his strength. Now listen. If you want to silence the torment, all it takes is a deliberate choice to be obedient. That's all it takes. I know. I live it. I know it. I know. No, I won't say that. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around. This is a moment for you. Maybe it's that one thing that you just could not break through and you're going, I can't even hardly say I'm thankful. But if you will make a deliberate choice right now, a deliberate choice to obey in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. And if you will believe that all things are worked together for you, if you would believe God's word right now, he will set you free. He will set you free. And your heart will have thanks. If that's you, no one looking around, if you're ready to get rid of it, then by faith, just lift your hand and say, Bill, that's, yes, yes, that's right, that's right, that's right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want our heads to just remain bowed. I want you to listen to me now as I talk to you with your heads bowed. That is a living word to you this morning. For that is the living word that God spoke into my heart for you. It is alive. It's powerful. It's active. It's working. It's changing you right now on that one thing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. We love you in Jesus' name. And we all say,
thank you so much for listening this morning. May the Lord bless you this week, and may the teaching today be a life-changing word for you. God is so good. Amen. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.